right, welcome back here. That's Love Supreme, and I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back from our false fire alarm break we had here at WEAA. They emptied the building. We're back in the house. You can join us at 410-319-8888. One of my favorite guests is with us here by phone, Kalima Young, director of the Baltimore Arts Plus Justice Project, a project of the community engagement at MICA, Maryland Institute College of Art. Kalima, welcome. Good to have you back.
Ah, thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm groovy. Ready for the semester to end.
Can you only stay till 11:30? Is that what I understand?
Yeah.
I can't make you stay a little bit longer?
I'll try to stay a little bit longer.
Just a little bit longer. Okay, good. So let's start off with, this is Trans Remembrance Day. Let me begin there with you. And I think that, you know, that we've had a number of shows with on these trans issues over the last 22 years in this program, and mm-hmm. still people, I think, in the straight community and even in the gay and lesbian community have a difficult time even put their hands around the notion of trans.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely, definitely. And, you know, transgender folks have been a part of the LGB community since its inception. They've been around forever and ever. And it hasn't been until since the 1990s that there's actually truly been a sort of field of studies around transgender studies to add levels of legitimacy to the activist work and the academic and theoretical work that trans folks have been doing for years and years and years. So I think folks are still people who are not a part of the queer community or the LGB community, and then members of the LGB community are still trying to understand the history that's been there and a part of our movement for such a long time.
And I think part of humanity is what people have a hard time putting their hands around. You know what I'm saying? The reality of it. We're also have with us Van Michael, who's who is Black Trans Man Inc., the Maryland chapter representative and local advocate for who also pens the Real Trans Talk column for Baltimore Out Loud. Good to have you back with us also, Van.
Thank you for having us. Good morning.
Hi,
good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
And you all can join us here at 410-319-8888. It's 11:25. They may have to run close to 11:30. I might try to hold them on here as long as I humanly can to have a little bit of this conversation given the fire alarm break that we had here at WEAA. But let me jump. Two things I really want to hit. First, let's talk a bit about this Trans Remembrance Day that's happening in Maryland and around the country. Do you want to talk about it? Start that off, Michael?
Yes. Actually, Transgender Day of Remembrance was started after the murder of Rita Hester in Massachusetts. And during that year, there were two other trans women that were murdered in the Massachusetts area. And so each year, the trans community and allies come together to remember those who have lost their lives due to violence. And violence in all forms, you know, sometimes it looks like, a flat-out murder on the streets. And sometimes, you know, violence looks like suicide that happens. Mm-hmm. And as a result of maybe not being able to fully transition with all of the supports that is needed for individuals, you know, to fully grasp exactly who they are and to feel included. So this is something that happens every year. In the month of November, it's, you know, Trans Awareness Month. And so that's what's going on across the nation. It's a really sad time of the year for a lot of people, especially here in Baltimore this year. We experienced, the highly publicized murders of Mia Henderson and Miss Candy. That was tough. And those murders are still unsolved. We have a lot of some attacks that happened in Atlanta. We had Georgia. Mm-hmm. Happening, so you know it's been a turbulent year again. Unfortunately,
I think you know the Mia Henderson piece really. I mean, I heard that it really was really shocked so many of us. But not shocking in the sense because it happens all the time. The number of transgender folk who are murdered in Baltimore and around the country is significant. I mean, wholly beyond Kalima, the numbers of people in our society.
Right, definitely. And not only are trans members of our society more susceptible to violence, also because their identities are so marginalized that there's an array of public health crises that has to be taken into consideration, and mental health services, and there's the spectrum is quite large. It's it's hard to get your brain around sometimes if you're not actively doing the work,
One of the things I knew we were going to talk about here on the program today, Kalima, had we started been able to start on time, but let me just do this anyway with you, was to talk about the death of Leslie Feinberg.
Yeah.
And why that is so significant.
Well, gosh, yes, Leslie.
Yeah.
This is a really, really sad week for many of us who were fans of Leslie's work. Mm-hmm. I was introduced to Leslie's work in 1993 in my first women's studies class when Stone Butch Blues came out. And
which was her seminal work and the book that really put her on the map.
Yeah, it really put them on the map. And Stone Butch Blues was such a nominal work because it centered the marginalized identities and how to live a marginalized identity in the midst of the social movements of the 1960s and the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, as a young, queer, working-class girl, it really attracted me because it opened my mind up to an invisibilized history of the community that I was seeing myself as a part of. And it really helped me to understand the differences between a butch identity and a trans identity and a genderqueer identity, just the beginning of those conversations. And it was such a poignantly brilliant book that opened the minds of so many activists and so many young queer people and so many people wanting to unarchive our invisible past that you don't hear about and you didn't necessarily learn about. And I think one of the most important parts of that book, Judith Halberstam, who wrote Female Masculinity, this is what she says about the book. By weaving the story of Jess Goldberg, a working-class gender warrior, through the narratives of the 1960s and 70s social movements, Feinberg insistently reminds us that our individual struggles are always a part of a larger fabric of resistance. And that is definitely one of the things that that book did. And all of Leslie Feinberg's subsequent work was all about linking our struggles across our marginalized identities, and it blew my mind.
So let me just say this: given the crazy timings on today's show, I know Kalima Young and Van Michael. Van, can you stay a little bit longer? And Kalima, can you stay a little bit longer? What do you have to do?
Yeah, I can stay a little bit longer. Right. I put a sign on at my office door.
Okay, and Van.
Sure.
Okay, so great. I just want to check before we moved on because it's 11:30 here, and we talked about that earlier. So let me, you know, I think that this is really important, I think, and the things I try to do here in this program when it comes to issues like this and talking about the civil rights and humanity and human rights of different sectors of our population and people in our world. And go to Kalima and then Van. I mean, I think that because, again, I started this out this way, and I think that, you know, how when we look at the worlds of race and racism in America, mm-hmm. And we see all the pieces, and we know there's a huge portion of the white world who can't wrap their hands around, mm-hmm. for conscious and unconscious reasons, both,
mm-hmm.
the power of race in our society and what it really means, and what's happening in America today. I think that's also true for different reasons around our sexuality.
Oh, definitely.
You know what I'm saying? And why people have such a hard time. People are you know, voted for marriage equality.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of people in Maryland. People who wouldn't have before did. I think the leap from many people to talk about transgender and what that means and, you know, and how that's defined and why people have such a hard time wrapping around their hands around it also has a lot to do with why people can't think about what transgender means and why the Remembrance Day doesn't hit like other Remembrance Days do. And I think in some ways that's a conversation I like to try to figure out how to start. Kalima?
Right. Well, that's where do you start with that conversation, right? One of my favorite quotes from Leslie Feinberg, I put it on my Facebook this week, gender is the poetry each of us makes out of the language we are taught.
Mm.
And think about that. The conversation about gender is in our language. It's how we see ourselves. It's this conversation that is set up on a false binary. And if everything is set up on a false binary, and if the language that we are provided is only language that sticks us within these binaries, it changes the way that we're able to see ourselves. If we're not given an opportunity to understand that all of these identities are constructed in the first place, mm-hmm. then people have no idea when a trans identity comes comes to the forefront, or a genderqueer person comes, or a butch woman presents herself, or a femme man presents themselves, people are so, because we're so stuck in this idea of there being a binary between men and women, and that this thing is naturalized and innate, which it is not, it's really hard for people to even question it. It's in the drinking water. It's like asking a fish, how's the water today? Like, what water are you talking about? So I think that's one of the reasons we have such a difficult time, is because people will not understand that gender, just like race, is a constructed thing.
And just to support you in that, Kalima, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think that even the term – well, first I want to also say, actually, to Leslie, as well as Alex Fox, who passed away a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. I want to say in about September, who was a local trans man who – did a lot of firsts in the area, in the Baltimore, Maryland, D.C., Maryland area, regarding trans men and setting up networks regarding how do trans masculine people begin to emerge as their authentic self in a safe manner when there were no, wasn't a major movement at all. So Alice Fox is someone that the community just lost not too long ago. And early on, even when we look at trans masculine identities, we're looking at Goodrum Alexander and Marcellus Cook Daniels, you know, coming out of the West. And Daniels was born here, but did a lot of work, well, born in the D.C. area, but, you know, did a lot of work nationally. Right. So even the emergence of the trans masculine piece is still something that is emerging and coming along. You mentioned, Kalima, about the healthcare piece, which is really critical when we look at female-bodied trans individuals. Mm-hmm. And this passage here, for instance, even in the state, we have the bill that just passed as far as non-discrimination is concerned and the Medicare portion. But a lot of people of color specifically, you know, are on Medicaid, and that is state. And so a lot of folk benefits are not covering what they need to, you know, fully realize themselves. And I think that that's something that Maryland needs to move forward on when saying that we support, you know, our trans residents here, but how much do we support them when they can't access the care that they need? And again, understanding that binary piece is constructed, it definitely is. I was reading earlier this week around a study of about 2008, and they were looking at how culturally on a worldwide piece that they don't agree with the gender binary, and that, you know, this is a westernized concept, even in indigenous folk, the same piece. So getting folk to understand the spectrum of transgender and not transgender, the person that uses that term to help folks understand them, right?
Exactly.
So getting into the continuum is very important.
That's why Leslie Feinberg's book, Transgender Warrior, which came out in 1996, is such an important work for people to understand. Mm-hmm. Because Leslie went and archived these variations of this idea of gender and how this transgender identity exists across time and globally, and the fluidity of this conversation of gender. And in 1996, when they released the Transgender Liberation Pamphlet Movement, Whose Time Has Come, that was the first time in our lexicon where we were actually able to think of transgender as an umbrella term, to be a sort of pan-gender umbrella term to embody many different identities along the spectrum.
I think that since we are talking about the Transgender Remembrance Day, do I have that right, Van? I just want to kind of read some of the names that were in this article that appeared in Baltimore Out Loud by Bill Redmond Palmer, who talked about the deaths and that there were at least 1,400 deaths of transgender people reported in the United States, and the numbers of people who have been killed or murdered or died. We know Mia Henderson, who was 26 years old, whose brother plays for the L.A. Clippers, or she may never have been known because of that. Candy Hall, 40 years old in Annapolis, was murdered June 3rd of this year. Chrissy Johnson, who died from multiple stab wounds. Tracy Reynor Ronta, who was co-founder of the Baltimore Transgender Support Group, was murdered. Carla Natasha Hunt died from a gunshot wound to the head. Venus LaBeja was a transgender rights activist who was stabbed and set on fire and died from those burns. Angel Dream Revlon Royale was found dead in her home just days after she was made queen of the Baltimore Pride Day. Stacey Brown died from gunshot wound to the head. April Ms. D. Green was found stabbed to death. Aiden Rivera Schaaf was took his life 1 month of, before his 18th birthday because of bullying that led to massive depression. Tyra Trent was found strangled to death in the basement of an empty Baltimore apartment. Tracy Johnson died from multiple gunshot wounds. Kelly Young was found suffering from a gunshot wound and was taken to hospital where Kelly died. And I don't know if there are more, and there may be more.
There are.
But we want to say their names in the air and remember them, and I think that's important. And we do have to go to a break here, and I appreciate you staying a little longer. But if very quickly, Van and Kalima have very quick closing thoughts, I'd love to hear them before we have to go to our next segment.
I would like to say that peace, peace, peace to all of the members of our trans community on this day and to all of our friends and all of our family, and that if we're going to do justice by Leslie Feinberg, then we have to see that our struggles are connected. And no matter where you are on your spectrum, are connected. Our struggles are connected across race, across class, across identity, geography, and that there's work to do.
And Van, very quick, we have our next guest is online waiting to come in.
Yes, I would just like to say again, peace and our shade to all those who are passed on guiding us through, and that unity comes from harmonious relationships and not everyone agreeing, but understanding that we come together as our differences to create harmony, to bring unity, and it's time to move charity into justice.
For sure.
Van, Michael, and Kalima Young, thank you so much for joining us. Look forward to having you both back in the studio soon.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
We're going to take a very brief break, a very brief break, with Pennies from Heaven by Billie Holiday, recorded on this day in 1936. We'll be right back.